Hey guys, will this 1994 850 BMW CSI bring huge money on Bring a Trailer because it's run no reserve? Or will no reserve result in disaster for the seller? Let's find out. Let's get into it right now. You know what time it is. It's time for a brand new episode of the Bid Nerds. We got producer Patootie right here making sure it's happening. Michael Deeb in San Francisco. My name is John Polnick. I'm here in Las Vegas with Patootie. She's eating intruders that try to break into our studio here in the Container Park. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, Nerd Herd. What's going on, Michael Deeb?
Dude, we have a submission today from our good friend, just about the king of the Nerd Herd, Michael Myers.
All right. Saw him at the Red Rock Motor Club last night. Monday of every month at the Red Rock Country Club.
Stop talking about that. Man, I want to live in Vegas again. I miss all my
friends.
We
had some fun, man. We missed you. It would have been good to have you.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. Get me out of this town, will you?
Yeah, you're there in San Francisco. You know, we've been getting some so the Nerd Herd does the job, man. We ask the Nerd Herd, and they do. We need a name for your studio. This is the Rami Studio in the Container Park here in Las Vegas, but you are in a studio in the basement of your place in San Francisco, and it is not yet named this studio for Deeb, so we're getting some good submissions. What do you like so far?
I wish I could. What was the one that there's one that
there's like the Green Fist Studio, which could go wrong really quickly. There's a green door here in Las Vegas, so I don't think you want the Green Fist.
But the green door, the original green door, is here in San Francisco.
Is it really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a famous. That's a famous club.
Well, just look it up, folks. Look up the green door, and you can
see
if you don't know what it is. The Vroom Room, because you have that piece behind you. I like Vroom Room. That's pretty cool. Yeah. There's been like the Cold Cellar and some other ones, but Ross and Andrew and all those guys are bringing it. I'm liking the conversations you guys are having out there, Nerd Herd. You guys are talking to one another, making it happen, and that
I forget, but somebody said. Somebody said they jumped over to watch the Rami show, and they literally said, "Don't worry, I was just experimenting with Rami." And I literally laughed out loud to myself. That was the funniest thing I've read so far in the comments. Experimenting with Rami. Many a bottle service girl in Las Vegas has said the same thing.
Definitely check out our other channels, the Derfascination channel, the Rami show, and Dur or Die Porsche podcast. We have fun making all this stuff, and the Nerd Herd seems to be kind of like migrating from one to the other. Pretty awesome to have you guys, and thank you so much for sharing and subscribing. All right, if you're new to the channel, you know, we do this every day on YouTube, but we're also on all the other platforms, Spotify and Amazon and everywhere else, Apple Pods. So if you just discovered us, this is the Daily Nerd Out. We pick the most interesting car of the day from all these auction sites. If you're into these auctions, they're fun to watch, right? You don't even have to be an actual shopper, but you're hanging out on BAT, you're checking out Doug DeMuro's Cars and Bids. Maybe you stumble on the dumpster fire of P-Car Market and you're like, wow, these are some really interesting cars. They're all enthusiast cars. We pick the most interesting one of the day. We have a conversation about why that car is so interesting. And then we make a prediction as to what's going to happen with that car's auction. We predict what we think the number, that final hammer, will be. And then we invite you to do the same in the comments below. Boom, we go in the future and we reconcile our predictions with what actually happened. So you'll see at the end of this episode what actual results were. So play along. It's like The Price is Right with cool enthusiast cars instead of refrigerators and appliances and Rice-A-Roni.
And
you
skis.
Like Rice-A-Roni and jet ski. You like Rice-A-Roni. Yeah. It's a San Francisco treat, right, Michael Deeb? Rice-A-Roni studio?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, that wouldn't work. I like the Vroom Room.
Although do they still make Rice-A-Roni, or is that something like Aunt Jemima's where it's racist or something?
I think that all the Rice-A-Roni they've ever made is still in existence. I don't think the body can break it down.
Okay, so that's a good point.
It's like, so anyways. All right. Kind of like a maraschino cherry, only different.
We are not a culinary show at all. Although you do own a restaurant, so check out the Knob Hill Cafe in San Francisco.
Did you say culinary or culinary?
Yeah. The show is much like colon cancer. It'll stop you up, and you really want to get rid of it as soon as possible. Go hang out with our good friends at Gotten Classic while you're at this. If you need some parts for your classic Porsche, check them out. They probably have the part that you need. So give them a call and say the Bid Nerds sent you. All right, Michael Deeb, what is the most interesting car of the day today?
All right. Thank you, Michael Myers, a.k.a. Buddha, famously from South Carolina, resides in Las Vegas, and just about the nicest Porsche enthusiast and football enthusiast you will ever meet. We love Buddha. Mike Myers submitted to us this 1994 BMW 850 CSI with a six-speed manual on Bring a Trailer. This is a no-reserve auction. This car will sell with just 70,000 miles and offered out of Woodland Hills, Southern California. I'm going to see if I can pull this up real quick while I'm talking to you. Mike Myers said, manual pillarless coupes are sexy. That is a quote. So he wanted us to review this car, and man, what a car. JP, did you know that BMW only made like 225 examples of this for the US market in 1994? And I imagine a good number of those were manuals, but like by the numbers, this is a really, really rare car. It looks striking in that Tobago blue paint job, and then if you notice, it's got a black and blue leather upholstery. The reason is this car was sort of created not so much on like the dealer site, but I think they spoke to BMW individual and had this car custom tailored for this particular client. So this is arguably a one of one car in the world with this colorway and with these options. But there's a lot of options to cover, and I'm just going to try and go through that really quick. My computer's moving slow. Forgive me. One of 225 made by BMW individual. The car has been repainted by its current owner, and I don't know why that happened. But what you get is a 5.6 liter V12 that makes about 372 horsepower and has about 402 pound-foot of torque. So the idea that you would have a V12 and a manual transmission is pretty cool, and there's just not that many choices ever in the history of the automobile to have that sort of combination, especially with a six-speed manual. The 17-inch Style 21, affectionately referred to as the throwing star wheels, also look really good. A lot of service was done to the car in preparation for the sale. Valve cover gaskets, tie rods, engine mounts, all the drive pulleys and belts have been changed, and it's got a new battery. Really cool car. Looks great in the photos, kind of striking with the sort of the that bright blue paint. I want to just deviate for 1 minute, JP, and say how that first photograph reminds me of a lot of the cool pictures that were taken of all the Porsches that were at Lüftekolt 9 on Mare Island and all those industrial warehouses. And as I have looked at a lot of cars for sale on Elferspot, that sort of international portal for cars that are being sold all over the world. Elferspot is a great place if you have time to kill on your computer. Elferspot just brings all these incredible listings and funnels them to their site. But oftentimes the cars are photographed in these industrial backdrops. JP, at what point do you look at a car like this BMW, an industrial backdrop, and say that that style of photographing the car has jumped the shark? Does it just never get old if it's done right? Or is it too trendy that it's like here in San Francisco, anybody that wants to photograph their car wants to go down to the Mission and photograph their car in front of some cool graffiti mural, you know, in the hipster part of town. Anybody that's got one of these cool modern design cars wants to go to like some, you know, industrial warehouse that's decaying and take a photograph of their car like they did on Mare Island. Can that style jump the shark? Or if it's just done right, will it just always be timeless? I ask you because you really do have an eye for these things. And being on trend can really help you. And then when that trend sort of thins out or is oversaturated, I should say, it starts to look kind of lame. You know, are we getting close to that here, or am I just personally over like inundated with it at the moment because of coming off Luft weekend and all the cars on Elfer spot. Now looking at this, it's like, my God, is how many more people have to go to a warehouse to take a picture of their car to sell it? Is it necessary? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't, it always looks cool for sure, but right. Look, the biggest problem with photos is controlling light, right? And so yeah. Often you see photos where, you know, one angle looks great and the other angle looks terrible because they're outside and the sun's behind the car or if it's in front of the car and the light's harsh. You know, you can definitely tell when someone who was an amateur is taking the photos versus a pro. I kind of feel like these photos, and I don't know for sure, I don't know if this is one of the, BAT pros or if this is, if this was done by the seller, but these are not well done, even though they're in a cool place. And it is a little like you always want to make sure that the attention is on the car, not necessarily just the composition or what's in the back. You don't want to take away from the car. I don't necessarily have a problem with the fact that this was done in a warehouse. What I have a problem with is that you have really inconsistent kind of light. You have crazy highlights that are kind of hiding the condition of the actual paint. And when you start getting close to this car, I'm having a hard time telling if these are artifacts from the odd photography choices or if this car is, does this thing look orange peely to you? Like all the close-up photos look like the paint job is terrible. It looks.
I'm sure it was because it was repainted and repainted by this owner. So I imagine if the paint doesn't look good to you, I'd say that that's pretty telling.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, like the detailing, everything about this car looks like it's just a little, like, not right. I love these, an 850 CSI, I mean, with a, like you said, a V12 with a manual, oh my gosh. But this color, to me, is absolutely awful. I do not like the color, combined with the blue and the black interior with that just awful wood trim on the interior is just hideous on an interior that's one of the coolest, you know, kind of jet fighter pilot interiors of all time. I mean, I think these are one of the coolest designs coming from the era that BMW ever did. And I'm with Buddha. I love the pillarless thing. I love a 300 CE, you know, for Mercedes with the same kind of deal, or the CLKs and stuff like that. Driving one of these with all the windows down, even though you have a roof over it, it kind of does give you a bit of an open top feel to it. I've never actually driven a V12 manual version of one of these. I've driven an 850, is it the 845, the one that's not the V8 version?
Yeah.
You know, and that was pretty awesome. But, you know, they're heavy and they're heavy cars, let's be honest. They're not a nimble little sports car. With a V12, I wonder what that's like. But I'm mostly just concerned about the overall condition of this car and just how weird it is. It just doesn't. The photography is trying too hard to be really cool, and instead it's wind up being distracting. The detail, whoever detailed the car, just kind of like they didn't, it's like they didn't finish the job. It's like, okay, they put a bunch of armor all on the seats, but look at these door cards. It just don't look.
They ran it through a car wash. And JP, you said the words that I really was stumbling to find, which is, it looks like it's trying too hard. And that's the part that bothers me. Like I said, I got saturated with these photos with my feed from Luftekult. Everybody taking, you know, the same damn shots. And don't get me wrong, one of those shots is really cool. Yeah. 1,000 of those shots, it's like, okay, it's just too much. I get it. Yeah, the really cool old building. But this car's trying too hard. The thing that jumped off for me when I read this is that this guy repainted a car that only had 70,000 miles on it. Why wasn't this car, which is, you know, a special car, kept in a garage? Why did it need a repaint? So by all accounts, it doesn't look like they did a great job, and it doesn't look like it's been really well maintained. So this car could be DOA. We'll have to see. And I mean DOA in that it's not going to bring a real retail number. This guy's gambling a lot on the photography because he's running it no reserve. So any last thoughts before we get to the numbers?
Kudos to him for doing it no reserve. I am really just, this car is not doing it for me. Okay. So let's get to the numbers. Let's say, what do we think what's going to happen?
So John, our car closes in a couple days from now. Let me just go back one more time. Actually several days from now. So it closes, you know, kind of at the end of the week, so to speak. Our car is sitting at $60,500 on four bids. Initially, I had put $112,000, but I'm gonna pull a JP on our friend Buddha. So Buddha gave us a bid with his submission of $101,000, and I'm gonna say, Buddha, I think you're really right there. I kind of want to just park it at 102 and steal the top off of Buddha's bid and give Buddha the under. So I'm going to do that, which is not the most friendly nerd thing you could do, but it happens to me all the time, Buddha. Tough shit. So JP, what are you going to do? You could do it to me at 103, but what do you think is going to happen here? Do you think this car is going to break 100 grand or not? That's essentially what you're bidding on, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get anywhere near $100,000. I'm going 75. I'm going to give you a big spread. I think this thing stalls out.
Okay. All right, so I got the over. You got a nice lean to Buddha, and Buddha's at 101. So, yeah, we've got our bids. That looks pretty good.
That's not to say thoughts? That one of these couldn't bring more than 100. If this were if this wasn't so questionable, if it wasn't quite so weird, an exclusive with a cool color like this or original, hell yeah, it's breaking 100 with a manual like this. But yeah. I just think this is right now, the economy is in a weird place. We keep talking about this. There is still money out there for people who are trying to sell really clean, blue chip, sought after cars. We see it in Porsche. The factory stuff, a factory wide body is going to bring all the money if it's clean. A hot rod wide body ain't going to bring dick, right? And it really is a big discrepancy unless you have like a really great, like your hot rods have to have amazing powertrains, right? It's got to have like a way better engine or something like this. Particular car, it looks like it has a bunch of there's a bunch of receipts and stuff like that for maintenance and everything, and I didn't look into any of those details, so I don't know what's been done, but it looks like, okay, that's good news. But if you're considering this car, I'd be like fine tooth comb this thing, and I'd sure like to see a bunch of better, like I would rather see honest iPhone photos than these kind of artsy fartsy wannabe romantic photos. I believe in romantic photos. I believe in selling the dream for a car like this. But in the batch of photos, you have those kind of like, okay, the first tier photos, here's how badass the car can look sitting in a cool warehouse. All right, now here's all the photos that show you what the car actually looks like. And I am not able to see what this car really looks like, I feel like, with these photos. The hot spots are too hot. The dark spots are too dark. You know, the dynamic range on these photos is just, the blacks are crunched. You can't get in there and see what's going on. They're just, I feel like it's hiding something. And when you are seeing those things, that are definitely red flags for me on this car. And I haven't read the comments, so I don't know if other people are noticing this, but all those things just mean to me that I'm with you. I think it's DOA. It might be like a situation where we've seen kind of some people get smart, like that Ferrari 328 that we talked about last week, where, you know, it didn't come anywhere near. We both bid well over 100 on that, and I think it closed at 80 or something, and it actually sold, which tells me I think the seller was probably came to Jesus and probably lowered his reserve. I think that's the only way this car sells. This car probably has a reserve close to what you and
no reserve.
Think.
It's no reserve.
Oh, this is a no reserve. Okay, so it's selling. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there you go. Yeah. I think
wonder why this guy painted the car. And I like you said, you'd want to go through it with a fine tooth comb. Look, if they just repainted the car, fine. If they did a bad job, fine. Maybe you could, you know, wet sand the car and buff it out, but. Are they, you know, is there something under there? If there's Bondo in this car, I would run away from this car, you know? So anyways,
what do you think of that, Deep? I mean, that's one of the things people ask me all the time. And, you know, the idea of buying a car sight unseen on an auction site, especially enthusiast cars where there are so many little things that like, you really got to put eyeballs on something. Is that why the blue chip stuff that looks like it's all original tends to bring big money, and anything that's questionable right now, it's like,
we were looking at photos together, and I think it was on the show, and you had gone through like a dozen paint meter photos, and you were commenting, you're just speaking candidly while you were looking at it, and you're like, God, I hate these paint meter photos. Are they really necessary? Well, like this car has 200 and something photos, and none of them are paint meter readings. And I think the fact that they're not there is also very telling. Like, this guy went to a lot of trouble to photograph this car. Where's
well,
the paint meter
you,
readings?
What do you
because
need
I think
a paint meter reading if you're admitting that the car has been repainted? I feel like the paint meter, the only point of the paint meter is to show that it hasn't been repainted, right?
No. So it, like, say the factory readings on this car were 5 to 8 mils. If it's just been repainted, then those readings are going to be like 11 to 14 or 11 to 15. Well, if one of those readings is over 20, that shows you that there's more than just paint between the thing and the metal. Okay. That's going to tell you that there's filler. And if there's filler, it's because there was a crease in the metal. And the crease in the metal either happened from something hitting the car or the car hitting something. And you'd want to know that if you're going to pay a premium price for a special car like this.
All right, guys, what do you think out there in the nerd herd? Would you buy something like this, sight unseen? Would you take the risk? Do you think a pillarless, sexy beast like this is worth the risk? Or are you like my partner and I are kind of like, I don't know, man. This is too sketchy for us to put our money where our mouth is. So put your bid in now in the comment section below. Tell us what you think of this car, and we're gonna fire up our flex capacitor. 2D is gonna take us into the future. And we will see you in just a second. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you've gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. And we are back. From to the future? We're back to the future, not from the future. I don't know. We're in the future. You were sticking around. You're watching, trying to figure out what's going on with this 850 BMW thingy. And look at this. In the future, we found an expert, someone to help us out. Wish you were here before the break, Lucky, because maybe you would have helped help me out with my bid. Lucky Lopez from the Lucky Lopez YouTube channel. Nerd Nation, if you haven't already followed this guy, you need to, because he knows his ish. Welcome to the second half and the future. Lucky, what's up, man?
Oh, man, I'm super excited. I want to see how bad I bomb these numbers and see how great you guys actually get there. Make me look silly, but I'm super excited to see how this one plays out.
Well, you get the benefit of seeing how dumb I was before the break. All right, Deeb, give a quick reminder of what this car was so Lucky
can
kind of play along.
Lucky, this car was submitted by one of our Nerd Herd Buddha, Mike Myers, a.k.a. Buddha, who said that he loves coupes with no pillarless coupes with manual transmissions and V12s. This 1994 850 CSI with 70,000 miles out of Woodland Hills, California, is a stick shift. It's one of 225, and it was built by BMW individual in this incredible paint colorway. The car has been repainted, so that's worth noting. Buddha thought that the car would sell for $101,000. I took the over at $102,000 because I knew my cohort here, JP, would take the under. And boy, did he. JP came in at $75,000 on our car. Our car was at $60,000 when we covered it. So again, Buddha's at 101, I'm at 102, and JP's at 75. Care to venture a guess as to what this car sold for last week on Bring a Trailer?
I mean, I am a huge 850 fan, and I know there's not a lot of us out there, but I think just the fact that it's rare, it's a coupe, and it's basically the last real 8 series that BMW made, I'm guessing it probably went...
Hold on. Lucky, before you say a number, I want to give you the benefit because you weren't here in the past. This car was a repaint, was it not, Michael Deeb?
It was repainted.
And it doesn't even, like, it looks like it's poor, like it wasn't even really detailed well. So I just want to give you, this is, I would not, and Michael Deeb, you can help me out. Would you say that this one's in good condition, great condition, or poor condition? What?
Somewhere between fair and poor.
Yeah. That bad?
Oh, really?
No, it's not that bad.
I didn't think it looked that great.
It's not great. Yeah. Like, you can see orange peel in this bit. Can you see that, Lucky? I don't know how well you can see that. But there's definitely orange peel. It's like, this is a crappy repaint.
I'll be honest with you, they're so rare. And I still see these things, even automatics, going for over 40, 50K. How and what? It's an American car, a U.S. car. It's not Canadian. It's not from the overseas.
Right. It's a U.S. car. Yeah.
And indeed. Remind him what our numbers were real quick.
No. Yeah. So. Yeah. So 101,000, 102,000, and JP was 75. The car was at 60 grand when we were covering it.
I'm still at 96,000. I'll be honest with you. If I saw it, I think it wouldn't break over 60K if it's in the condition that we're seeing right here. But I know that emotional gets the best of everybody, so I'm sure it probably went for 110, but I'm guessing 90, 96.
Okay. If you had said 110, you would have won because our car sold for an unbelievable $151,500 on 32 bids last Sunday, the 14th, on Mother's Day. While everybody was at brunch, somebody paid $150,000 for this 850 CSI.
That is the dumbest result I think we've ever seen. And look, I like these cars in general, but this one just doesn't seem like it's 151 in this market. What happened, Lucky? What's going on?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, whoever bought that is just a fool. I mean, I no better way of saying it. There's a ton of these things all over online that are in the $50,000 to $80,000 range that you can get that are cream puffs. Because I was looking at a 6-speed manual. That was actually my first or my second BMW I ever owned. I actually got it out of Canada. It was a manual 91 850. Absolutely amazing car. And I thought it was the Batmobile. I thought it was the coolest thing on earth. I mean, but they get parts for it, $1,200 for spark plug wires.
Ooh.
So whoever bought this, I pray to God that you know how hard it is to get parts for that car. And when all that plastic breaks, you're going to be crying because there's no replacements for it.
Oh, JP's been saying that about this generation of BMW for a long time since we've been doing the show.
Yeah,
so many plastic parts. Yeah, so many plastic parts on these cars. It's weird to think that the ultimate driving machine are brittle. But yeah, one of 225 built for the U.S. market, built by a BMW individual. It still had 70,000 miles on it. And inexplicably, this car has been repainted without a story or paint meter readings to show whether or not that this car was actually hit. And it just wasn't on the, you know, the Carfax or whatnot. To me, too many questions to pay a premium, and yet somebody absolutely paid a premium. I don't get it.
No, it's the perfect example of just because it's rare doesn't make it valuable. I
thank you.
When people are like, there's only 200 of these. Who cares? I'm sure there's only 200 shit boxes driving around that look this color or this is ugly. It doesn't mean it's worth that much more money. And it's like people just, they get into this FOMO, this fear of missing out. It's rare, so I got to pay top dollar for it. Have you guys ever seen the BMW, I think it was 1Z, the ones with the roll-down
doors?
The doors
that go down.
Yeah, those are rare, but do you see anybody overpaying for those monstrosities?
No, not at all.
It's because they're a pain in the ass, and when the door mechanism breaks, it's $6,000. So it's like, good luck. It blows my mind. Whoever bought that, if you're watching, you're an idiot.
Well, the thing is,
it's going to take you 10 years to get your money back.
And there were multiple people. It's like, it'd be one thing if you saw something like this listed in a classifieds or at a dealership or whatever, and they were lauding it as this big deal and they had a ridiculous price and someone bought it. You'd be like, all right, well, they found the guy. But in order for the number to get to $150, there had to have been at least two guys that were going at it because they have to bid against one another. It's not like this thing was sitting at 60,000 and someone just dipped in and said, all right, I'll pay twice as much or more, you know, more. No, somebody, people had to bid this thing up. How many bids were there, Michael Deeb?
32 bids, which is not a ton, but it got some action. But basically there were three guys fighting over it from 110 up to 150 where it finally stalled out.
Well, and I'll tell you, happened on the last day because I was actually watching some of this. It just took off, and there was three or four people that were going after this thing. It was sitting well under 100 on the last day, and then, you know, went
JP,
up.
You and I had a minor discussion about, like, trying to make the car look cool in this industrial backdrop, but these weren't really good photos, yet they were good enough to see that the paint isn't a quality repaint. And again, no valid explanation as to why you'd repaint a car with less than 100,000 miles. Nothing about this one made any sense. And to me, it's a laughable result. I maybe forgot to mention, Lucky, it's a no reserve auction. So they were committed to selling it. I just can't believe that they got out of this with, you know, 50% more money than this car deserved. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if DuPont Registry is still around, but I'm sure you can pick up any of those magazines. There's probably four of these things in there with lower miles and better condition.
That's hilarious.
I mean, like I said, DuPont Registry. Personally love these cars. It's the last, I call it real BMW.
Yeah.
I couldn't fathom paying $150,000 for it, especially
No way.
like that. Like, no. Though, especially with there's a few Alpine editions that are very, very rare that I've seen go over 100K, and there's even ones that are with the, I can't remember the name of it, starts with a Z, but it's a German body kit that was put on at the factory.
Zender.
Zender, yeah.
Zender.
Yeah, it was an amazing looking 8 series. This one, I mean, with that color, like, it's not even a, I think, a cool color. Like, if that's black or silver, I like the 8 series. That looks like it should have been shot by the ocean with, like, the Little Mermaid playing in the background. It's, yeah, I mean, sorry. Not
there's
to
your
sound,
yeah, there's your spirit of occasion, JP.
Little Mermaid. Yeah. Well, yeah, and then the really, I mean, look at this interior, the wood paneling stuff, just like the worst.
Show him the blue seats and the blue carpet.
And the blue interior, like, what the hell?
Look at the blue seats and blue carpet.
If you could put non-desirable above non-desirable, mine was a black on black 6-speed manual, and I had the dark wood trim, and it looked amazing. And I think that's the model that everybody's going to go after. But I guess I honestly don't see the mystique of this car.
BMW people have always been into weird shades of blue. I did have like a Z4 M for a while years ago, and I hung out with some people who were really into BMWs, and you know, they were at the time. That was probably early aughts, and everybody was going gaga over like a Storl blue M3, E36 M3s. That was like the color. Everybody had it as having a Storl blue. So I feel like and we've talked about this on other episodes, and Lucky, you talked about it on, I think, the last episode. It's like the car enthusiasm follows what people wanted when they were young, and now they're in disposable income territory. So if when you're in your 20s and there was a car you wanted and you couldn't have it because you didn't have any money, now you're in your 40s and 50s, you're in disposable income, you sold your house or you're retired or your kids are out of college, blah, blah, blah. You go back and you buy that thing that was on your wall or that you couldn't have but wanted. And I think these cars, I think that's that weird BMW crowd went from early aughts to now they can afford them. And so they're looking for these stupid colors. I just don't think this, I'm with you. Black on black for this car is just epic land shark. This is a car that just doesn't look great in bright colors. Maybe on an exotic car like a Countach or something like that, you can have the bright colors. But this, the line.
Black on black, this car would look like Darth Vader.
That's what I called it.
What's that?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a perfect example of the right car finding the right buyer. That's all I could say. It's perfect timing. The stars aligned. They found that one guy that absolutely probably loved this car. And I'm sure when this guy sells it in 10 years from now, he's going to get 70 grand for it.
Yeah. Unless inflation goes up and it's 100. That's the thing. You know, we talk about that all the time. And that's one thing I was actually wanted to ask you about, Lucky, was like your take on inflation. Because, you know, you mentioned like 08 and all the, you know, every collapse we've seen, every market collapse I've seen in my lifetime has always been like price collapses, and then those prices get propped up by the Fed lowering interest rates and all that kind of stuff. This time around, if we see a collapse, it's going to include an inflationary push that we haven't seen in those other collapses. So I predict a market collapse, but with prices actually stagnating and even going up because values go down, but the value of money also goes down. So, you know, like 911 SEs, we talk about all the time on this show. 3 years ago, 2 years ago, that was a $35,000 car. Now it's a $55,000 car. $55,000 is the new $30,000. So in 2 or 3 years, or even let's say, heck, let's go 12 months. What do you think happens to prices on stuff like this in 12 months? Because I know you've had some opinions about it.
I mean, as the credit crunch is happening, people just simply can't afford these classic and exotic cars. And I think that as the supply or the demand dwindles, like people like Bring a Trailer that can't get the funding to buy these cars. Because don't be wrong, a lot of these people that are buying these cars online are getting loans for them.
Sure.
There's a handful that are paying cash, that are stroking a check, that have the capital. But I'd say a majority of these people are getting loans. And when those loans stop coming in, watch how fast those bids drop. And then once the bids drop, people are going to be desperate. There's going to be more cars on these platforms. They're going to go up for sale. They're just not going to get the numbers. Two things are going to happen. The real rich people are going to pull their cars off, and they're not going to want to get low dollar amounts. But the other people that are desperate, that maybe are maxed out on their credit cards, have too many loans, that are crypto bros that lost all their money, those are the ones that are going to be putting their stuff up, and they're going to get cut in half by people like myself that are going to buy it for hopefully not pennies on the dollar, but about 30 to 40% less than what they originally purchased it for. And I think that's what's going to happen in the next 12 months, because the cars won't lose their value, kind of like what you're saying. It's just that the demand won't be there. There won't be somebody stupid enough to push the envelope to set the new price precedents. It'll be just back to where it's at, and it'll stay there. So I wouldn't really call it stagflation, almost like what you're saying, but it just, there won't be somebody stupid enough to push it to this next thing. Like with this 8 Series, they just have to find the right guy to push it to the next level. That shit's not going to happen, because now everybody with a piece of crap 8 Series is going to be like, my car's worth $120,000 because it looks just like this. And it's, yeah, it's all downhill from here. But I think the Fed squeezing everybody with inflation. And once the credit crunch is on, watch all these, I call them fake millionaires or credit millionaires. These are all the people living extravagant that are not going to be able to afford their cars.
Well, what about those guys that have, I mean, they owe $120,000. Let's say you owe $100,000 on a car and inflation goes up 10%. So now your $100,000 car, that $100,000 that you paid is now only worth $90,000, but you still owe $100,000 and inflation has gone up, and now you need $100,000 to get out of that loan. Then what? I see total stagflation. I see people not being able to dump them because they can't get the money. They're just going to have them repoed. Do they just keep making the payments?
Yeah, I talked to a lot of exotic and classic car lenders, and they are actually scared. People are giving back their cars at record numbers, especially when it comes to exotic and classic car leases. A lot of people don't know this, but a lot of these people will do these leases so they have to pay sales tax. It's much more adjustable rates, and it doesn't show up on your credit report. Well, what happens is a lot of these leases are on adjustable rates. So every time the Fed raises the interest rates, so does your payment. And so all these people that are driving, I got 2 Ferraris, 2 Lambos, a Bugatti, they're all getting their loans called in, and they can't afford their payments. Every week at the auction, like I used to never see classic cars at auctions. You will never see a classic car. Now, tons of them. Banks are just bringing them by because they have nowhere else to get them. Usually they reach out to wholesalers and dealers like me that buy either classic or exotic cars. But they have so many now that they're just putting them at the auction because people just simply can't afford them. So I think this is a fun bubble. We're going to probably ride it out a little bit. But I think that in 12 months, we're going to be back on here, and you guys are going to be shocked on how much less the cars are going for. We're going to be like, remember when this car was bringing $100,000 and now it's bringing $60,000? I don't think we're too far away from that.
Yeah. How about those guys that have the multiple exotic cars, like you just mentioned, the Lambos and the Ferraris and stuff like that, and they've spent another $50,000 or $100,000 on exhaust and wheels and all kinds of stupid stuff, and they have to give that car up. They're just meat in a grinder.
Oh my God. It's every time I look at I remember a few of these people, like back when Lamborghini Uruses were super popular and Huracans, people were paying $100,000 over MSRP for all these cars.
Yep.
So just imagine today, those cars are worth half of that. So now you have a $380,000 loan and the car's worth $250,000.
Yeah.
Being upside down 100 and it's they have no choice but to walk away. You can I literally walked up to the dealership. I'm paying allocation price, I'm not going over it, and every week I get moved up further in my list for my allocation for my Technica because people are walking away. They can't afford them anymore.
Yeah.
And so there was over, I think, 60 people ahead of me. Now there's only 10. So 50 people dropped out in the last 18 months of their Lamborghini
Urus.
No.
Huracan?
Their allocation. Sorry, their allocation. Oh, I apologize.
How many of those
away from the allocations?
How many of those people walked away not because they couldn't afford it, but because they had allocations on 5 other things and they're just waiting for one of them to come in? I mean, I know a lot of people were like, "Hey, I'm trying to get a GT3 or a Ferrari or and whatever came first is what they actually bought."
Yeah, no, we called them allocation pirates. They would literally show up and get an allocation on every car. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as it came in, they would sell it. Well, now these cars are not doing it. I remember my friend, I think he has 7 allocations on Z06s. And he was paying $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 over MSRP. I know the first one he got, he paid $70,000 over MSRP. And he already sold it, thank God. But now he can't sell them. He has to sell them for a loss. So he's either going to have to walk away from his allocations and just take the money back, because people are not paying $100,000 over what they were basically originally doing. So these days of getting all these extra money above cars is gone.
Well, there it is, guys. Plan accordingly. Things are changing out there. You know, we always say it. We've said it many, many times on the show. If you're going to buy something that you really love, buy something because you want it, buy something because you're going to drive it. If the apocalypse happens, at least you're in a cool car. You know, if you put a bunch of money into, I don't know, crypto and it crashes or whatever, you've got nothing but, you know, a lower number on your phone. At least if you lose a bunch of money on your cool car, you can drive around in your cool car. So that's the lesson for the day. Anything else to say before we get out of here? Go subscribe, like, notification
shout out,
button.
Shout out to Buddha. Thank you for sending us the car. Appreciate you. Love you, Buddha.
Lucky Lopez, check out his YouTube channel. And as always, we will see you tomorrow with the most interesting car of the day from all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. Bye-bye.